directly to the borough manager, not reply all. So just to clarify that.
Thank you. You want to proceed then with the questions?
Yeah, Mr. Christians, my suggestion question would be following. First, I've read the two questions that I have put forth, and his suggested question.
I apologize.
Someone's calling, huh?
So his first question, does the member utility have the legal right to offset and deduct from its monthly payment all the approved facility operating costs from the purchasing utility, which has occurred during the normal operation of said facility as per the long-term sales agreement? And I might as well just read all of them, then we can talk about it.
Yeah.
Number two, are clerical and administrative costs actual reasonable costs per FERC accounting code, FERC 539, and the long-term sales agreement? And the last one is, according to the power sales agreement, Petersburg and Wrangell are entitled to the dedicated power from the Tai Lake hydro facility. Any additional power is dedicated to Ketchikan. Mm-hmm. Based on historical and current documents, along with O&M contracts, are both Wrangell and Petersburg entitled to 50% of the dedicated electric power from the Lake Tai Hydro Project? Mm-hmm. One and two, I guess is similar to what I've asked. Mm-hmm. I think the question is, I don't think there's any doubt in number two that they are normal costs. Now, whether there's the long-term sales agreement, and then there's another document that the Ford Dam Pool adopted called policies and procedures, and one of the items that they adopted was the exemption of those particular costs. And like I said, historically, that's what has happened. That's what was in their bylaws, so to speak, that those costs were not included. And I think the question is, I don't think there's any doubt that in normal circumstances, Bonneville Power, as an example, those would be acceptable O&M costs. I don't think that's a question at all. And I think what the attorney will look at is he'll look at the long-term sales agreement, and then he's got to make a decision whether or not the additional policy and procedure, if that's something that both the Four Dam Pool had the right to do and SEPA, who inherited that. So I think he's asking a similar thing. I think he's just asking in a little different way.
Yeah.
But it's going to get down to the same point, that they're going to look at the Four Dam Pool or the long-term sales agreement, and then they're going to look at this other document. And it's going to get down to the legal question of this other document, do they have the right to do that and have their own policies and procedures, or don't they? And if they do, then that's in there and they have the right to do it. If he's saying they don't have the right to have a policies and procedures where they exempt some things, then they don't have the right to do it, as I look at it.
I think we're going to get told no on this first question. Because looking at the power sales agreement, section 6, paragraph A, subparagraph III, it specifically says each purchasing utility may offset against and deduct from its monthly payments all or a portion of the approved facility operating costs the purchasing utility, us, has incurred. All such costs shall be subject to audit, approval, and other such procedures as the agency, SEPA, may from time to time prescribe.
A key point there is approved.
That's what he's
cost.
Saying.
Yeah.
He's saying that the Ernie's first question would be denied. I don't have a problem putting these questions forward. I think getting legal direction one way or another is important. And I think you're right. Ernie's first two can be merged kind of with yours, maybe with a little bit fleshed out language in your first one. Ernie's third one basically is the same as your second one. About the 50-50 split, and I think that's an important issue to put on the table. I have a third question I'd like to have added to it. I'd like to have the attorney basically say who's ultimately liable for the $750,000 PERS liability. And, you know, if it's unclear, I want to know that. If it is clear one way or another, I want to know that. I think on that first one you have, Jeff, if we can add in some of the stuff that Ernie had talked about with the, you know, the FERC code, long-term sales agreement, point him in the direction of those documents and the policies and procedures. And as well, I think one other thing that needs to be clarified, and I bring this up just because I in a conversation with Mick and Rhonda, we talked about it. The O&M costs are the ones that are split between the non-net billable that's split between Petersburg and Wrangell. There's sort of $110,000 worth of stuff. Some of it is Rhonda's, you know, the secretary's position and accounting, and some is actually the commission's, you know, cost, whether it's travel or her time working directly with the commission or like board insurance, that kind of stuff. And, you know, Mick thought the split was maybe 50,000 commission costs. The other 60,000 was what he thought was very legitimate O&M costs. So anyway, there's sort of a little bit of a split in there.
They seem to think, I think they agree that the commission costs are not right. But they're saying, but what I plan to do is we'll make sure, and I'm sure if we're going to use Eric Redman, and I don't know for sure if he's still practicing or whatever, but if he isn't, I will try to get a hold of him, and he probably has the firm he works for. I know he had people that worked under him that probably at this point are the guy, but we'll make sure they have the power sales agreement. We'll make sure that they have the policies and procedure manual. I plan to give them all the correspondence from Thomas Bay and SEPA and anybody else that we, so that they have all the documents that everybody else has seen. All the arguments both ways, and I think at that point we'll make sure that they understand, and I'll certainly talk to them and understand that this is the issue, this is the question, and here's all the documents and the arguments to and from. The 50-50 thing, you know, in the early days, because there was so much extra power, that I don't know if there was, you know, there was never a document, we've never found anything where it come out and said, Wrangell's entitled 50 and you're entitled 50. And there was so much extra when we first started, there were so many other issues we were trying to solve that just kept getting pushed off, and there was never really it was always inferred that was the case, and we both paid half and half of everything, but so anyway. But we'll ask
Which
them,
is
and maybe there's information there somewhere during the whole history of that. And I'm sure Eric in his office will have that, because he was the guy that wrote the long-term power sales agreement. Of all the attorneys, our attorney was the one elected to actually write it. So he's the guy.
He's the guy. And,
wrote it. So very familiar and but anyway, we'll see if we can get him on board.
I think that last question is a good question, because of all the things that the power sales agreement is not very specific about, that's one of them, because it just says the output of Tidy Lake will be in the first instance dedicated to serve the firm power requirements of the interconnected utilities of St. Petersburg, but it doesn't break down a percentage anywhere.
Doesn't break down the percentage, but then too with Thomas Bay operating the thing, the two councils put in their charters the 50% deal.
Okay.
50% of the O&M costs that were being paid by SEPA
was
taken up by Wrangell and Petersburg. The cost. So that infers right there that we have a 50% partnership. Mm-hmm.
James, I'm not sure it actually says 50% in there.
I think it's
always assumed, because everything we've been kind of equal partners, thinking that meant 50-50, but I've never seen anything where it actually says 50-50.
Yeah.
I think everybody has assumed that because we paid half of Thomas Bay's non-billable, and they have, and so you assume if you're splitting the cost, you're splitting the power, you know, so, but anyway, we will, now.
Are you clear on the question?
I was just gonna ask that. So the first question, I'll revise mine to incorporate some of what Bernie had.
Yes.
Is that okay?
That'd be fine.
And the second question,
If it helps to make it, add some of it or something.
I think it's the same thing, but I will make sure I incorporate that. And then the third question is about the $750,000 PERS liability.
Yeah.
And then what I will do, do you want me to copy you with the letter I am going to send him? Not for approval, but just to, I don't want to get into the same thing, so we're bringing it back, but, and I guess if someone just has.
I'd like to see a copy of this.
Yeah, no, I'll copy everybody, but, and I guess if someone has a major objection with, but it's not going to be anything different than we've just talked about. If someone does have a major objection, you know, we can come back to the next meeting. But it's.
I just had a question about, I'd almost like to, well, I was going to say set another meeting time for when we get the, you know, answers back to try and, you know, move the ball along, but I don't know with your schedule being out of town and.
I'm going to be, actually, for the most part, we're going to be in a, after her surgery, we're going to be in a hotel room. I'm going to be connected to the internet. And we're not going anywhere other than sitting there. So I'm going to be in correspondence with Carol, who's going to be kind of in charge when I'm gone. But I'm going to be kind of like I'm at the office there, so I can certainly check emails and do stuff and. But if we do get it, I think, you know, we'll come back to the very next meeting unless someone wants to call a special meeting. But once we get the information back from him, we will, we'll immediately bring it back to the assembly.
Yep, if we could just, once that answer comes back, if you could just send out an email, that way we've got a chance to read through
sure.
it and stuff before the next meeting.
Sure.
You're only talking about probably a week and a half at the very most between answer time and the next meeting anyway, so.
Well, that depends on the attorney.
Yeah. I'm not going to be here at the next meeting, so I don't know if that matters one way or another, but and I don't know if I don't see a reason to keep these kind of answers confidential, but I'm not sure, maybe I don't know what will come back exactly, you know, I don't know.
I'll look first and there's some controversy, we'll look at it a different direction, but I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
I think most of this is gonna be
public stuff.
Yeah, and.
I had another question, I don't know whether it should be addressed to this lawyer or somebody else, but one of our problems has been that some of our commissioners sit on two boards,
mm-hmm.
and if they sit on two boards, SEPA and Thomas Bay, if there's a conflict, can they vote?
Actually, I don't think that's a matter for this attorney. I think that's something we can decide among ourselves.
Or ask our own attorney or whatever.
Or ask our own attorney,
yeah.
Yes.
That's what I was asking, whether it was appropriate to ask that question with this guy. I feel like Jeff does. Ask the cheaper guy.
Well, you know, just thinking this through, the $750 or $750,000, you know, I'm not exactly sure if that's something we can't ask our normal attorney.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's necessarily a power question.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. and I can tell you it's going to be a lot cheaper
with him.
With our city attorney than power attorney. That's up to you, but I and I guess I can ask Bob, and if he feels uncomfortable, we can do something different. But if he thinks that's something that he doesn't have a problem answering, then I have certainly my own thoughts on it. But so that's up to you. If we can start there, and if he feels comfortable going forward, but I think it is probably something he could handle. And if he doesn't feel comfortable, I'm sure he would tell me too, so.
Well, I'm comfortable with that.
Okay, I am too.
Is that okay?
I think Bob would give you a.
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
Bob would give you a good answer. Could we put this on there? They asked me to. Yeah.
Okay, does anybody have anything else on this subject? Okay, item 13C on the agenda, approval of the Wrangell Timber Industry Plan. This is a memo from Carol Ashmore, Economic Development Director, regarding that. And a draft of the plan.
I'll make a motion to go ahead and approve it.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to approve the Wrangell Timber Industry Plan. Any discussion? Hearing none, poll vote please.
Assemblymembers Blake?
Yes.
Stowe?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Stokes?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 14, attorney's file. We have none. Item 15, executive session. 15A, discussion with the borough attorney regarding a letter from attorney for Oliver Construction.
I move to go into executive session to discuss the letter from the attorney for Oliver Construction, which immediate knowledge would have, would clearly have adverse effect upon the finances of the borough.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Poll vote please.
Assemblymembers Stowe?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Stokes?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. We'll recess into executive session at 7:48. 16 adjournment. We'll adjourn at 8:18.